Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I hope you all had a wonderful holiday, and you were able to cope with some of the stresses. I know when you have to get together with different family members that maybe you don't get along with, and or maybe you have family members you do get along with, but sometimes holidays can be a little stressful, but we remember that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He came into the world to save sinners, and we were all sinners at one time, and we needed a Savior, amen? So maybe there's people listening today that don't know the Savior, but Jesus Christ is our Savior. He can forgive you of your sins and give you a brand new life. That's what he can do for you. And many of us have experienced that, and we're so grateful to God for everything that he's done for us, his unspeakable gift, his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we remember, and that's one of our favorite scriptures here at the Prophetic News broadcast is, God so loved the world that he gave, and that's our motive as Christians, is to love our neighbor as ourselves and to honor the Lord Jesus Christ with living an upright life, trying to work to support our families, not to get dishonest gain, to be happy with what we have and content, and not to covet our neighbor's goods, and not to be like the heretics and the scam artists that we see that are so prevalent in our day. But we want the real church of the Lord Jesus Christ to shine forth and to come forth and to show the world who Jesus is and what Christianity is really all about. So that seems like it would be easy enough, doesn't it? But we do have quite a job on our hands. Now, I wanted to look at a few scriptures. I was looking, if you look at, look up the word wicked. Now, 325 times the word wicked is used in the Bible. That's a lot. So God does have a lot to say about wickedness, and we're going to talk about a few people today that I consider wicked. And I know some of you probably say, oh, but they're Christians. But no, they're not Christians. No, Christians, like we've said before, do not extort money from other Christians. I know myself, and probably you too, when you're at home, say you're at home with your wife, or you're at home with your mother and father, are you sitting down on your sofa and looking at them and thinking, now, how can I extort some money out of them? Maybe I can tell them, if they give me $100, that God will give them $1,000. And now, do we do things like that? I don't think so. Are we just sitting home all day long or even at night dreaming of ways to extort money from people and then to tell them that God told us? No, we don't behave that way. Maybe we know people that behave that way, but that's not the way Christians behave. So I do not consider Rod Parsley or Paula White or Kim Clement, or I may play a clip today by Robert Lyrdon. I don't consider these people Christians because they lie. First of all, they lie about God. They lie about who Jesus Christ is. So we reject that, and we have to reject this type of behavior from people who call themselves Christians. And we have to take a stand and say, no, you're not. So you can call me a hater all day long, but I'm not a hater. Apparently you hate yourself so much that you won't even open your Bible and read what it says, because the Bible will tell you the truth about things if you care to read it. So nobody's a hater. You hate yourself enough to risk going to hell to lie to somebody just to get some money. So the scripture, Proverbs, I want to look at Proverbs, the scripture that pertains to wickedness. And of course, there's many, many scriptures in the book of Psalms on wickedness. My goodness, you could be there all day. God has so much to say, and now I'm going to say this scripture for Rod Parsley. Now, Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Now, that's Proverbs 10:27. Proverbs 10:28, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. So Rod Parsley, he's standing at the crossroads of his life right now, because he's facing his own mortality. He had a throat cancer diagnosis quite a few months ago. Really, he hasn't really been in his pulpit much in the past year. I think he was silent for over 6 months, maybe more. And then he came back. And, of course, he came back more puffed up and full of pride than he even was before, claiming that he got a miracle. The Lord healed him of his throat cancer, and he was going to have a seven times greater anointing. And but Wednesday night, when I was tuned into his breakthrough broadcast, he has his program on iHarf TV, they call it, their website, and they broadcast live from World Harvest there in Columbus, Ohio. And there's Rod. Okay, he jumps up on the platform, and he's not talking, he's doing sign language. So he's back to not talking. He can't talk again after he claimed that he was healed and he got a miracle and he was coming back seven times stronger. But Rod Parsley, when he came back from his throat cancer dilemma that he was going through, we never heard Rod Parsley apologize to the body of Christ for his lying and his scamming. No, what we heard from Rod Parsley was more scamming. He was selling, him and Kenneth Copeland were selling what my friend the Wolf Tracker calls prayer rags. They cut up a bunch of rags, and for an offering they sent it to you after they prayed. They laid hands on all these rags, you know, and then they're sending them to you. And if you sow a seed, especially if you sow a seed, which is to give Rod some money, then he will put your prayer request on his altar, and they will pray. Him and Kenneth Copeland, the heretic Kenneth Copeland that says that Jesus Christ went to hell, Jesus? Well, what did Jesus have to go to hell for? And then he says, also Kenneth Copeland says that Jesus, now if you could believe this, I don't know if you can really believe this. It's hard to believe, but Kenneth Copeland said that Jesus Christ was born again. Jesus. Yeah. Jesus was the first born again man. Jesus. Yeah. Wow. Jesus, huh? Wow. You know, Kenneth Copeland's wacky. And not only that, Kenneth Copeland, within the last year or so, he went to Rome and he bowed down to the Pope and he was probably kissing his ring and looking at him like he was some kind of a great thing. And he goes to Rome and he visits the Pope. Who does that? Who does things like that? Since when do we unite with the harlot church, the false religious system of the Roman Catholic Church? What do we have in common with them? Nothing. We have nothing in common with them. And in fact, if you look at history and if you look at what's going on today when you watch television and they call it Christian, but it's not. No, it's not Christian television. No, it's not. But if you compare to the way Rome behaved, the Roman Catholic Church behaved throughout history, and how they funded what they called their ministry, they used to sell, and they still do. You can call any Catholic church, and I've done it myself when my uncle passed away, and I called Catholic church because I was raised Catholic, so I know a little and went to Catholic school. And I'm not a Catholic anymore. I stopped being a Catholic when I was 12. So I know how they operate, but I wanted to see for myself if they still were selling, if they were still selling time out of purgatory. And for my listeners that don't know what purgatory is, Catholics believe that if you have sin in your life and you can't get to the priest to have your confession before you die, and you don't get the last rites, that you could wind up in purgatory, which is the middle place. It's not heaven, it's not hell, but you go to purgatory where you have time in purgatory where people can pray for you and they can buy masses for you, and then you can get out of purgatory eventually and then you can go on to heaven. So when my uncle died, I called the Catholic Church and I said, well, you know, my uncle died, So I just wanted to know, what do you do for people that die? She said, well, for $10, you could we can say a mass, and we'll say a mass to get his soul out of purgatory. Okay? Now, that's just a for instance of how they built St. Peter's in Rome and how they built their massive empire. Who's richer than them? Nobody. So, also, they sold indulgences, and what an indulgence is, and they still sell them today, is you pay a certain amount of money, and they pray for you. They pray masses, and they also have prayers for you that you can also buy your way out of purgatory while you're alive. You can you'll get time off from purgatory. So that's why I said before, in case people don't know it and they want to say, oh, well, they're Christians. They talk about Jesus. Yeah, but what Jesus are they talking about? This is not Jesus, is buying masses and buying time out of purgatory for $10. That's I never knew Jesus did anything like that. I thought that he died once on the cross, and he died for our sins, and the way we have our sins forgiven and the way we know we have eternal life and going to heaven is we know we have to be born again. So I don't need to buy any masses and I don't need to buy indulgences, but that's how basically they funded their massive empire that we see today. And we see in our towns, and I'm sure in my town, in my county alone, there's probably 8 huge Catholic churches. Alone in my county, the real estate is worth millions of dollars, and it's a small county. So you can imagine every Catholic church in the United States and all the real estate, it has to be worth trillions of dollars, I would say. The Vatican in Rome, which, by the way, has a wall. They have a wall around Vatican City. You can't just walk in to Vatican City, but yet, this guy, Pope Francis, he doesn't think that we should have a wall surrounding our borders and we should just let everybody walk in here. But he doesn't let anybody walk into his property. No, he doesn't allow that. Also, nobody walks right into the White House either. There's a wall around the White House because they don't let you in. And so we should be provided, amen, the same kind of security in our own country. But anyway, so that's what we see today. We see these massive empires being built by people like the Crouches and Joni and Marcus Lamb and God TV and the Cirillos, among many other false Christians that are, and they're not brethren, they're false brethren. So they've managed to accumulate all this wealth by selling miracles because they know it works. People are so desperate that they will lay down, they will borrow on their credit card, they will sell, go and pawn something just to give an offering so they can get God to do something for them when all we have to do is ask God. That's all. All we have to do is ask, and we don't have to give him any money to do anything for us. So he does it because we ask, and he answers our prayers according to what he knows that we need, like any good father. He doesn't give us everything we want. Thank God. Wouldn't some of us be in a big mess today if we would have had everything we wanted in our life that we thought we needed and we had to have, and then we find out that, wow, thank you, Jesus. Years later, you say, thank you, Jesus, you didn't give me that. I know I have said that. So, but we have a big job on our hands trying to unravel all the damage that has been done to the body of Christ over the years and trying to get people to think. Have you noticed that people have lost their ability to think because they've let their pastors and they've let the TV preachers think for them, so they don't think for themselves anymore. But everyone has to be able to think for themselves. You have to be able to read your Bible, comprehend what it's saying. If you don't know, just go and try to look the words up in the dictionary, do your studying, and study to show yourself approved so that you won't be deceived, because these people are slick. Look, they're good at what they do, because if they weren't good at what they do, they wouldn't be on television. Television time is extremely expensive, very expensive. So they have to have a certain level of income even to be there. But anyway, Rod Parsley, and I'm going to play a few clips from his service there on Wednesday, and that was, I guess, the 23rd of December. But anyway, Rod was there, and he couldn't talk, and he was trying to make sign language with people. And also, I noticed that it was a little frosty there between him and his wife, Joni. Now, people that would lie on Jesus, now people that lie about Jesus, and they will lie on Jesus, they'll do anything. They'll do anything. They have no morals. So we'll see what happens there with Rod. Remember, the Bible says that your sin will find you out. So we're going to see the unraveling. And who's bringing it upon himself? But Rod Parsley is bringing it upon himself because he refuses to repent of his wickedness, even though he's facing his own demise. And I noticed that when his wife got up to speak, and then as they were sitting in the front row, and they called themselves the First Family. I didn't know there was such a thing in a church as a First Family. Anyway, so Rod and his wife are not sitting next to each other. No, they have their son in the middle of them because she doesn't even want to sit next to him. And then he gets up after to give her a hug, and you know, her arms are down at her side. She is not hugging him back. She's mad about something. And then you notice in the video that her son comes up and she's hugging him. And then her mother-in-law comes up and, she's hugging him, her, but she's not hugging Rod. No, she's not hugging Rod. So, Miss Joni knows what's going on there in the house. Okay. She knows Rod. And, but I'm surprised. Okay. Wives are supposed to be helpers to their husband. They're supposed to be a helpmeet. And wives are supposed to, they're good at it too. They're good at pointing things out to their husbands, like when their husbands are missing it. A wife can tell you, you're missing it there, honey. And but Miss Joni, she doesn't do that. She sits back and she enjoys the wealth that they have accumulated. She enjoys the $1 million house that they live in. She enjoys the lavish lifestyle that Rod has afforded her through his scamming. So she has not been a good helper to her husband. But anyway, something's going on there. And now Rod can't talk again, but I'm going to play this clip from Wednesday, and here we go.
We are also being joined tonight by our congregation in Elkhart, Indiana. Can we please welcome them and thank God for them there in Northern Indiana? Hallelujah! Ha-ha! Praise God! Amen! Hallelujah. You have a Bible, open it real quickly to Mark chapter 12. I just got a few verses of scripture I want to share with you real briefly tonight. Mark chapter 12, and we'll begin reading in verse 41. Glory to God. Look at that. I got the brand new Breakthrough Jubilee Bible, and I can read it without my reading glasses. Hallelujah. You need a Bible like that. Yes, you do. Look at somebody and say, you need a Bible like that. By the way, they are available in all three foyers after the service. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Mark chapter 12, beginning with verse 41. Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. Now listen. People have accused us of doing a lot of things at offering time here at World Harvest Church, but there is no occasion, and I've been here for 33 years, there is no occasion when Pastor Parsley ever watched to see what people were putting in the offering. Never. He's going to do that tonight. First time for everything. Hallelujah. Here's what the Bible says. Many who were rich put in much, but a certain poor widow came and put in two mites, which make a farthing. He called his disciples to him and said to them, truly I say to you, look at somebody next to you and say, all is well. I want to thank God for our first family. Can we please welcome all of them? They're all of them here with us on the front row tonight. And we thank God for them. We thank God for their example. We thank God for their faithfulness. We thank God for their faith and their perseverance. Hallelujah. What a blessing. What a blessing. Amen. Everyone remain standing, if you would. Everybody remain standing. And we have a very, very wonderful privilege tonight, because Pastor Parsley has been, you know, when you get to feeling a little better, you start doing things, and then a lot of times you're tempted to do too much, and then you have to stop doing things for a little while. And that's the situation our pastor finds himself in tonight. And as you could see just a little while ago, he's not speaking at the direction of the Holy Ghost and his doctors and good sense. And so he's not able to share things with us vocally tonight, but he didn't want to miss the opportunity to be in the service with us tonight. And we thank God for that. Amen. Amen. But we had the opportunity to hear from someone who has another unique perspective.
Now, wasn't it interesting that he said, this is his sidekick there. They call him Elder Canfield, but this is Rod Parsley's yes man. He just yeses him to death. And he says, while he's taking up the offering there, he says, "We've been accused of a lot of things here at World Harvest when it comes to offering time." No, nobody's accusing you of anything, okay? Nobody's accusing you of anything. You're doing it. We're not accusing you. You're scamming people. You scam people. So that's not an accusation. That's a fact. That's a fact. So you don't have to lie. You don't have to continue to lie to people there at World Harvest Church by telling them that we've been accused of a lot of things. Well, for instance, when you tell people that they're going to give $1,000, you give $1,000 and we're going to believe God for family members to be saved, and we're going to believe God for you to be healed, and we're going to believe God for breakthroughs in your finances, and that is not an accusation. You're doing it. So why don't you just tell people the truth there, Mr. Canfield and Mr. Parsley? Just tell people the truth there and quit lying. Your friend Rod can't talk because he had throat cancer. Now, who do you think has silenced him? Do you think it was the devil? No, it wasn't the devil that silenced him. Remember John the Baptist's father? Remember what happened to him? Now, who silenced John the Baptist's father? Was it the devil? No, it wasn't the devil. No, it wasn't the devil. Who was it that, was it Herod that was, he was consumed with worms or something and he died? If I'm remembering correctly. Now, who was that? Was that the devil? Who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? Now, was that the devil? No, that wasn't the devil. No, No, it wasn't the devil. It's not the devil, Rod Parsley, that's silencing you, because it's God silencing you. The fact that God has been merciful to you to even give you another day to live, to give you another day to repent, that's mercy. That's mercy for robbing widows' houses and promising people things if they give you some money. You can't do that. You can't promise anybody anything because they give you money. Nothing. It's not up to us anyway what God's going to give you and what he's not going to give you. I can't tell you that, what God's going to give you. I don't know. I know that if you go to work every day 9 to 5 and you work 5 days a week and you work for 40 or 50 years, you're going to get something. Yeah, you might accumulate some wealth. I know that. But I didn't know that you could buy it. I didn't know that. I didn't know that you could confess it. I didn't know that you could get a breakthrough. No. I don't know that. So then in that service, at the end of the service, Rod gets up and he takes Mr. Canfield's hand and he puts it on his heart, and you know, Rod throws his hands up in the air and he's crying. Yeah, I hope he's crying. I hope he's crying. I'd like to see him cry, get up there in front of that congregation and get up there on national TV and repent for being a scam artist. That's what I would like to see before the Lord takes him out of here, which he might do. And here's some audio from that when Rod was crying.
Dream possible. I believe that family members who don't know Jesus as their Savior are going to come to know him this Christmas. Is there anybody that's in agreement with that? Go ahead and shout hallelujah. Thank God that Pastor Rod Parsley is healed by the power of God.
We're going to pray for Pastor and his family, but there's someone else that we need to pray for as well. And Elder Jermaine Brunson had surgery just yesterday. Now, it wasn't life-threatening or anything like that, but it's a situation that requires him to be off his feet for a while, and that's the reason that he's not able to be with us tonight. He's at home recovering, and his wife needs our prayers. Praise God. So, and we're going to pray for him too. Amen. Praise God. Take the hand of someone next to you, if you would. Let's believe God together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our pastor, Pastor Rod Parsley, and for his family. And we thank you for the healing power of God that surrounds him and all of them during this Christmas season. And we thank you, Lord God, not only do you heal him, but God, whatever it is that's in the head gets into the body. And everyone, every family, every household, every individual that is connected to him by participation in the vision that has come out of him, we thank you, Lord God, that the same blessing that you bestow upon him and his family, you bestow on them and their families in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, we pray for Elder Jermaine Brunson. We thank you, Lord God, that the healing power of God is at work in him.
I can tell you one thing for sure. Rod Parsley is in trouble. He's in trouble. And they could cry and scream all they want about people making accusations. My Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. My Bible says, open rebuke is better than secret love. My Bible says, to be careful of people that flatter with their lips. My Bible says, iron sharpens iron. My Bible says, reprove, rebuke with all long suffering. That's what my Bible says. So, Rod, you just might have a friend over here. You just might have a friend over here, because apparently you don't have any real friends that will tell you the truth. like, I'm going to play a clip here. You know, you can't make this stuff up. Rod, he has Clint Brown. Now, Clint Brown is a protege of Rod Parsley's, and also Clint Brown, before he went over to Rod's, apparently he was a protege of Mike Murdoch's. So this is who he learned from, the master manipulator Mike Murdoch, before he went over there to be the worship leader at Rod Parsley's. And then Clint Brown moved to Orlando, Florida, to be a pastor, where he took over the debt. Now, this is another person like that makes you think that they have everything. Benny Hinn, he wants you to believe that God has paid all his bills and that he just has so much money because he's always sowing seeds. So, but anyway, Clint Brown assumed a $5 million debt on Benny Hinn's Orlando Christian Center after Benny left Orlando. And Clint Brown then assumed the debt and took the church over, which a few years later went into foreclosure. Clint Brown bankrupted the place and wound up getting a divorce, and his house went into foreclosure. Well, the seed faith ain't working for him, okay? But they want to tell you that it's going to work for you. But so anyway, Rod invites Clint Brown over there to fill in for him because he can't talk. So he invites Clint Brown to come and talk for him on a few Wednesday nights. But I also noticed that, okay, the first family there, the Parsleys, Rod, his daughter Ashton, his wife Joni, and their son Austin, they weren't showing up for church. So they want you to show up, but they weren't showing up. So finally, Rod started showing up a little bit. The rest of the family wasn't showing up that much, but they want you to show up every Sunday morning and Wednesday and Sunday night, but they weren't showing up. So anyway, here's Clint Brown. Now listen carefully to this. This is way out there. This is like two or three Wednesdays ago when Clint Brown was talking about Rod Parsley.
I'm a witness to the dress. Somebody say, tonight is your winning night. It's your winning night tonight. You can be seated in his presence. Well, I know you're going to jump right back up, but how many love your pastor, the apostle of this house, the doctor with the prescription to your problem? Come on, somebody, the word. In a time of famine, your rod and your staff. Come on, somebody. Put your hands here and open up your mouth for the general over your family's life and praise to you. How many love Pastor Rod Parsley tonight? Lift it up. Amen. We honor all that are here tonight. You can be seated. Amen. It has been a privilege to be here every Wednesday night, and I think we're supposed to be here next Wednesday as well. I think so. And I'm declaring next Wednesday a night of miraculous birthings coming into this place.
I didn't get a hug yet today. I didn't get a hug yet. I love you. An amazing gift. You're a great blessing. And one thing that I've discovered during this time, I've discovered many, many things, but one thing that I've discovered is how amazingly blessed I have been through the years to recognize deposits that I made that it means alive. I was overwhelmed, Bishop Clint, when Jay Masters welcomed. How many souls were won? 1,565.
Now notice. Now isn't this ridiculous? Like, Rod has known Clint. Oh, yikes. He must. It's probably 30 years that he's known this man. And they're friends, okay? He calls him Rod and he calls him Clint. In real life, that's how they talk to each other. But notice Rod when he talks about Clint there on the, when they're up there at the podium, he says, he's looking right at him and he calls him Bishop. You know, come on now, get real, will you please? You're only Rod, and you're only Clint. And even Rod, it's so bad that he even has his daughter calling him Pastor Parsley instead of Dad. Yeah, she calls, when she talks about him, it's Pastor Parsley or Dr. Parsley. No, he's Dad. His name is Dad to you. The Bible, and I think it's in the book of Job, it says not to give flattering titles to men. So even the apostles, if you notice, if you read in your Bible and you notice that when they were addressing themselves, they always said, they always put their name before their occupation. So Paul would say Paul an apostle. He didn't say Apostle Paul. He was Paul. So they need to drop all this phoniness. And God says he's no respecter of persons. So he doesn't respect Rod any more than he respects you or respects me. And you have to get real. And I know I've said this before, but let me say it again. Don't believe your own publicity. Because as soon as you start thinking you're something going somewhere to happen, you're in trouble. We are only flesh going somewhere to happen. And we have a Bible. And the Bible says that God uses the foolishness of preaching. He allows us to take his book that he wrote, and he allows us to quote from it. So that doesn't make us anything special. It doesn't make anybody anything special. The only special one is Jesus Christ. He's the one that died for you. So they need to quit the comedy over there, because it's like a comedy routine. That's about what it's like. But I want to play a couple clips, because just to show you that, see, people such as Rod Parsley, and then we're going to talk here a few minutes about Paula White, which Paula White now, who also claims to be rich, and you know, she's a prosperity preacher, and she can tell you how to get breakthroughs, and she's always decreeing and declaring, and she's going to tell you how to decree and declare so you can have money too, just like her. She says that she's got enough money to last her until she's 90. That's what she said. But now here's a funny clip I'm going to play, and this was a few weeks ago. And this is Paula White. Now she claims to be a pastor there over in Apopka, Florida, which is a little one horse town there, and she's got a church there with no windows in a field. And so it was a hostile takeover, okay, from the family, the Timms family, after Zachary Timms died of a drug overdose. Somehow Paula weaseled her way in there and took that place over. But She's been claiming that she's going to build a city there, and they're going to have a hospital, and they're going to have a Bible college, and they're going to have a school, and blah, blah. And so she's been there for, I think, 3 years, maybe a little bit more. And they haven't even overturned the shovel yet over there to begin their city of no destiny, which she promised people in Tampa, Florida, when she was there, that she was going to build a great cathedral, and she was going to build, oh, what things they were going to have over there. And in Lakeland, Florida, where they had a church too, she was building a hospital there, and they were going to have all kinds of things there that she was building. And those two properties were foreclosed, and with that, Walls filed for bankruptcy in 2014. And now those buildings don't even exist. They were bulldozed. They were, you can see the video on the internet on my channel, Susan Puzio. Also, Kevin Oliver has one, Not Your Typical Negro. He has a video of the bulldozed property. So they don't need, these churches don't even exist. God not flattened them to the ground. So, but Paula, she will tell you that you can get rich by sending her first fruits offering and by tithing and sowing seeds. But notice what Paula said a couple weeks ago here.
Stay right where you are. The Bible says in Psalm 41, verse 1, blessed is the one who considers the poor, for in his day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. We will go to Lovell. I said it right. We'll go to Lovell tomorrow and feed about 200 and something people, correct? 250 people right now. Meals are being prepared. Get up here, Pastor Doug. We're supposed to do 150, and they've just asked us to do 100 more in our community, okay? There are people that are shacking up, but I'm not saying, if you're not shacking up, then you get food. I'm not saying that, Elder Harold. I'm not qualifying them and saying there are people who are doing drugs. If you're doing drugs, you don't get food. I'm not saying that. There are people who have a criminal record of this. I'm not saying if you have a criminal record, then we're not feeding you. I'm not qualifying. If you have a leprosy, I'm going to feed you. If you're caught in the very act of adultery, I'm going to feed you. Because they're going to walk away tomorrow and go, who is that church? And where were those loving people from? And why did they feed me? Why did they get? If you're taking advantage of the system, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to feed you. You go, for real? Yes. Because the only way I know to overcome sin is love. The only way I know, because perfect love casteth out all fear. Okay? And that has to do with the root of sin. So I'm going to ask you to be armed. Maybe you can be on the ground. Pastor, that's, tell them how they can help, because I prepared an offering. I prepared an extra offering. I'm going to ask everyone that can give $41 to help us do it, because we just took it on. Do we have the budget? No. I didn't have the budget to pay payroll this week, but I have a big God who has a big promise. Come on. Who will supply all.
Okay, did you hear what she just said? They're going to feed 200 people that probably don't really need the food, but she's going to feed she wants you to help her feed these 200 people, but they didn't make payroll this week. She just said it. They didn't even have enough money to make payroll there. And now I'm going to play. This is how Paula paid. Now she actually admits this. A week later, this is how she paid for her feeding program.
At the end of service, we do an offering, and we're getting ready to give away the flat screen TV so nobody leaves. But I'm going to ask you and offer you an opportunity. They said, Pastor, we want to take an offering up for you for Christmas for the staff. I said, nope. I said, no. And the reason I did, because I am Flint focused this year, and I want you to do something and hear my heart. We stepped out on faith, and we took care of the poor and the needy. We stepped out on faith. In fact, we put it on credit cards saying, well, Doug used his credit card, I used my credit card. We all used our credit card. We said, we just going to believe God. God will bring it in, amen? Because God's a faithful God. So I said, no, we're not taking it for the poor and needy. And I'm not going to tell you, given it shall be given, although that's a law in God's word that whatever you release out of your hand, God brings back into your life, amen? That's one of God's laws and principles through his word. But I want you to do something. I want you. How many of you bought gifts for somebody this year?
Yeah. Okay, so Prosperous Paula, she didn't get enough money in the offering the week before or whatever to pay for this feeding program that she had there. She admits that she had to put it on her credit card, and her sidekick there, Dougie Shackelford, he had to put it on his credit card, and other people there, the other staff members that she couldn't make her payroll, they had to put it on their credit card to buy the food for their feeding program. Well, Paula, hey, Paula, I think there's trouble over there. Oh, trouble over there in Apopka. You can't make your payroll. You're charging food on your credit card. Paula, I thought you were so rich. You just married this rich man, Jonathan Cain Friga, from the 1970s band Journey. And you said you had enough money to last you till you were 90. But yet you're not taking the money out of your pocket to feed the poor. You put it on your credit card, and you've got your staff putting it on their credit card, and then you want the people in the congregation to pay you back. Wow. So that's just a little history there, little history lesson for y'all. So you see, if you're a scam artist, if you scam people, no, God's not going to bless that. No, God's not going to bless that. You're going to wind up like Paula White, and they'll probably wind up running her out of there, out of Apopka, after she bankrupts that ministry, because she already bankrupted two ministries there, one in Lakeland, Florida. Now, I was there, okay? I personally visited these properties, and I took the pictures myself. I took the audio, the video myself. I did the research, looked up all the documents on the internet, and I saw the properties. I saw the damage that was done to the properties. I saw the bulldozed properties. I saw the bankruptcy papers, which they're available on the internet. So these are facts, folks. These are facts. That seed sowing is not working for them. So it's not going to work. First of all, we don't give money to God because he doesn't need any money, and we don't give money to God so he gives us something back. That's called selfishness. That's selfishness, and God's not going to bless that. We give because we love people. We love to be a blessing. We love the feeling that we get when we give. It feels good to give somebody something, and it even feels better when you do it without them knowing that it was you. And we don't have to brag about it either, about what we do for other people. And then say, and like, who says that to their mother? Mom, here's a gift, Mom. But don't forget, Mom, I want something back for this gift. I mean, who does that? We don't act like that to our own family. So we don't act like that to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God Almighty especially. And we don't act like that to our brothers and sisters in Christ. No, we don't act like that. That's not Christian. Nah, that's not Christian. No, that's the world. That's the world. So we want to come out of the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord. That's what we want to do. But anyway, I just have about 5 minutes left here. And I want to thank you all. We're coming to the end of this year, and we're going to see what the year ahead brings for us, aren't we? On the political front, on the social front, and especially in the church. And we hope that our programs have been a blessing to you, that you've been informed. And if you have any special requests, if there's anything that you would like us to talk about or to investigate, you can email me, Susan@propheticnews.com. And if you have any ideas for guests or you have any tips that you want to share, please feel free. If you have anything that's confidential, you can rest assured that it will remain confidential. And also, if you have any pictures, I am just finishing up a book, and it's called Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? And I'm putting quite a few pictures in there. And I would like to have more pictures. If you live in the Orlando area, I need some pictures of some buildings there. If you live in Los Angeles, I would like to have some pictures of TBN. If you live in Dallas area, I would like to have some pictures of Mike Murdoch and the Daystar Network. I know there's pictures available online, but if pictures are copyrighted, I cannot use them in my book. I can only use pictures that are in the public domain and don't have copyright. So that's why I need my own pictures. And I'm not able to go to these places right now. I was able to go to Lakeland, and I was able to go to Tampa to take some very good video and to document the story of the demise of the Without Walls and the Paul and Randy White ministries there. But anyway, if somebody can help me out like that, I would so appreciate it. Again, my email is susan@propheticnews.com. Don't forget our website, Prophetic News, and our YouTube channel, which is under my name, Susan Puzio. You can go visit there and see the documentation of the destruction of some of these buildings. And also there's some great audio on there because we like to back up everything we say. The type of programming that we do is we just take the information that's already out there. I mean, sometimes I do get my own information that hasn't been put out to the public or put out over the internet. But for the most part, we take the information that's already been published in newspapers and magazines, and especially from audio from these people, where we can prove to you that they actually said these things and they're actually doing these things, because the words are coming right out of their own mouth. So they can't deny any of that, really. But tune in again next week now. We'll be back next week with another program, and I'd love to hear from you. Thank you, Brother Vince. Don't forget to check out our brother Southeast Vince there on Truth Sharks Radio. And our brother, the Wolf Tracker, his broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And also Jackie Alnor of Rapture Ready Radio. Check out those broadcasts. I think you'll get some excellent information there. Also, remember the most important thing today is, do you know Jesus Christ? Have you asked him into your life? Have you asked him to forgive you of your sins and to be your Lord and Savior? Jesus said it himself in the third chapter of John that ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Read the book of Romans. The book of Romans says, confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Ask Jesus Christ into your life today. Ask him to forgive you of all your sins. He will. And he will give you a brand new, beautiful life. He will give you peace and joy and those things you cannot purchase. But he will give that to you. God bless you all. Thank you, everybody that tuned in today, everybody in the chat room, and everybody that's been listening. Thank you so much for all your support. Bye-bye.
Hey, record. Here we go.
I'm going to the city to sit on the hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to the city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to the city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to the city, on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
I'm going to a city, it lies for
gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.